All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. So Pancakes and Power Slams, you have a Chris Featherstone episode 402. Not feeling well, but you know how it is. We got to do this every week, and the show must go on. I'll tell you about Sid here in a moment. We're getting Black Bart's video stuff together, but it's y'all's favorite guest. It's old Black Bart. He's back, man. And I love having him back. And how are you tonight, my brother?
What's going on, brother? I'm sorry you're feeling under the weather, Chris. Sorry about Sid, but you know when you try to fly with eagles, sometimes you have to deal with a couple of buzzards along the way, if you know what I mean. The dadgum show must go on. So yes. Break the leg and let's get on with it, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, you know, it's always fun to talk to you, man. Always. The PNP Nation, my crew, the fans of the show, they love you, and you're one of their favorite guests. I'm having awards. I have my own Pancakes and Power Slams awards. And again, those who are just joining me, I feel, you know, I sound clammy and congested, but it's because I'm not feeling well today. But the show must go on. We must do this episode 402 with Black Bart. So hashtag Ask Bart is the hashtag for tonight. We're going to do some Q&A with old Black Bart. So you were at WrestleCade recently. We were talking about.
Right after Thanksgiving. I flew out Friday, and I can probably talk for an hour or two about that. But one of the main guys that I saw down there was Stevie Ray, and me and Stevie Ray and Booker T have a little bit of a background. If you heard any stories about
Global
Black Bart, yeah, and we'd been there Saturday for about we'd been there for about 4 hours or 5 hours anyway, you know, signing and talking to the people and meeting and greeting and hugging and kissing and all that. But Stevie Ray come walking up, and I got up and met him about halfway from our tables I said, you know what? I still ain't got that dadgum bass boat there, old buddy. And he said, what are you talking? What happened was, see, when they got their start, old Bart is the one that called Dusty Rhodes and said, I got two of these guys up here that want to come down there. And Dusty asked me, said, well, has it got any charisma, brother? And I said, they're oozing over with charisma. And me and Johnny Mantell have been training them, Ebony Experience, at Sportatorium in Dallas for a year, okay? Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, when I'll make the call. And when I do, I expect, you know, you don't ever get nothing for that. It's just a favor. And I said, no, this time, I said, you son of a guns. See, we was riding. I was living in Texas City. That's about 300 miles from Dallas, Texas. And they were living in Houston. That's about 250 miles. And every Friday we would drive in my car because they had little sports cars, and we all couldn't get in there. So we drove in my car 250 miles every Friday with these two guys back and forth while me and Johnny Mantell was training them how to, you know, wrestle in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I'll call Dust, but I want something for it. I want a dadgum bass boat sitting out in my front yard when y'all hit it rich. You know, when you hit big time and you're making all that money, old Bart wants a bass boat sitting out in his front yard. I said, I ain't asking too much. Well, the last time that I talked to Dusty and checked on him, they were making like $999.9, right at $1 million a year. Okay. Now that's $1 million for Stevie Ray and $1 million for Booker T a year. okay, wow. in WCW. Well, you know, I figured, you know, it was time, you know, and I told brother, I said, you know, I still take my bass boat, you son of a gun. I'd like to be able to go fishing, but anyway, you know, I know I'm not, you know, it's under the bridge. It's gone. It's just a story out there that old Black Bart got it again, right up the poop chute, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I can't cuss, dadgummit, and I won't. So, but I hugged his neck and told him. I whispered in his ear. I said, "I ain't gonna make no scene or nothing like that, brother. But you know, you should send old Bart his back." Well, and you got my address. So go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Why don't you go get that Texas compactor?
When I got Booker T on it, brother, it was in Houston, Texas, about 2 years, 3 years ago, and I wasn't near as nice as I was to Booker to Stevie Ray, because Stevie Ray still looks like he can fight a pretty good fight. that boy's still in shape, if you know where I'm coming from.
Yes,
but you know, I seen Barbarian. Stories about the Barbarian and me go back so far. It's not even funny. Johnny Mantell was there with Kay, his old lady, and with all the sportatorium stuff. The Wrestling Hall of Fame is in Little Rock, not Little Rock, Wichita Falls, and Johnny's taking care of it now. And they brought a bunch of stuff up and did a deal on Sunday morning where it was all sportatorium guys and guys that had been in the sportatorium and held that world strap. Al Perez was there, me, and there was a couple other guys held that belt besides Kevin. And when the dude that put it on the whole thing, he had a replica of that of Kevin's belt, right? Mm-hmm. And one of his main things was he wanted me to sign it. Okay, and he wanted Al Perez to sign it. Well, we kind of messed with him a little bit, but we took pictures with the belt, and they'll probably be selling them on eBay, and I won't get a dime of that neither. But it's okay because I'm used to getting it up the poo chute, so it don't matter. Go ahead, brother.
Not good.
Ask me some questions.
Let's have some fun, man. Let's do this. This is you against Butch Blackheart. From GW, wow. From GWF. So I'm about to play this. we're gonna watch this. So you're gonna do some commentary here. So this is old Black Bart against Butch Blackheart from October 2nd, 1991, wow. Global Wrestling Federation. There he is, right there.
Oh man. Brother, can I talk over this?
Yes, you can.
You do realize that this guy is the last guy that owns the sportatorium in the territory here, right?
Is that who he was?
That's him. That's Blackheart. Him and Rick Fowler formed a team of I can't remember, brother, but my gosh. A good guy, and very, very wealthy. He owns, I don't know if he still does, but then at this time right here when we're in the ring, he actually owns two or three construction companies. Ooh. in El Paso or some dadgum place. And he come down here. He's the last owner of the sportatorium. They wrestle like brother, I look different now than then. What? He a tough guy, but I had a saying on my whole career is that, brother, when I beat somebody up or doing anything, I make them look like they can beat me up. And that's what I did my whole career. And this ain't no I don't think this is a squash job. I'm trying to remember that even if it is, it ain't like a squash job like you used to see on TBS. When we was on TBS doing this, brother, we would have jobbers, and the job we would, and I started making them jobbers look like they could beat somebody. Yeah. And then when you beat the guy, you've actually beat somebody that looks like they had a chance of beating you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
See, that's a reverse tip.
That was bad.
Hip toss, yeah. Oh yeah. Hip toss, clothesline. Most of the time I would scoop. That was a terrible clothesline. Terrible clothesline. But when you notice how he's selling, I get up and yell it. Now I'm gonna take over on him because he messed that spot up. Yeah. and I kind of go on him a little bit here because he back in the old days, brother, you screw up a spot, you told him butt whooping, and then you get pinned 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think that's what fixing the he don't get very much more. And that guy in the ring, that's John Keaton. He's one of the best dadgum referees that ever come down the pike, brother. But you see that crowd in that sportatorium, brother. We had it going. We had it back.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't just me, but it was Maniac Mike Davis. It was Buzz Sawyer, Percy Pringle was there. This is right before Pringle went up and become the
pallbearer
for
Undertaker.
Anyway, brother, we had the dadgum thing going back like and making money. We was actually making money, but I mean, not like we were before. But this is after. Oh my God! This is after Crockett come in and tried to do all of the crap that he done.
Crockett? Oh yeah, because he ended up.
UWA.
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought in horrible. Had a good time doing it, you know.
Yeah.
What does that say?
Michael's asking, tell us about the match that never happened when you got the belt and never wrestled Chris Adams for it, but got the belt.
Well, who put that up there? Michael Rain?
Yeah, these are questions from the audience right now.
Well, do you want if this is the guy that wrote that crap on the internet about me? I don't know, but it sounds
like... No. These are questions from the audience that I'm putting on.
Okay, all right. You want me to answer that now?
Yeah, go ahead and answer.
It never happened and got to belt. I'll tell you about Chris Adams, okay? The night that I was supposed to wrestle Chris Adams for that belt and beat the living you-know-what out of Chris Adams, he was getting deported on a plane back to England because he got drunk and slapped the co-pilot on the dadgum plane. Chris, I know you know about that. No, yeah. Heck no. The belt was dropped on my bag in Real Rogers Coliseum. I come home straight off of that, off of Atlanta TV, hotter than 14 kinds of Billy, you know what. George Scott was the booker at the Sportatorium in the Texas Territory. He dropped the belt on my top of my bag and said, "You're the champ." And I said, "George, I got no matches here on TV. I got nothing here on TV." He said, "You're the hottest thing I got. And look at me. I'm doing pretty good in the ring right now as a jobber. I ain't no damn jobber. I was a jobber for 7 stinking years. All right? I done my dues. I paid my dues. Unlike all these other sap suckers out here, they think they're dadgum wrestlers, and they ain't.
There it is.
Never will be, because they won't never have the opportunity to pay the dadgum dues that we paid. You understand? we blazed this dadgum, and yet, you know,
boom!
That's Texas compactor, and that's 1, 2, 3, I guarantee, because he kicks out of that, I'll break his neck. Now, that, you know, well, I'm glad you showed that, because that got me fired up good. Give me some more of them questions, because The people don't know, brother. They don't know the oh man, the when I started in 1975 around here, okay, I pulled the ring. I set the ring up. I tore the ring down and went to the next show, okay? Mm-hmm. Me, and I was pulling it with my truck and my trailer, all right? I was wrestling the opening match and the main event, all right? And get paid Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and get paid $9. And I thought I was doing something good. Wow. I thought it was great. It's a dead guy. I can make money doing this. What do you mean? I'm holding down three jobs plus going to school to learn how to wrestle. And I said, damn, I can make money doing this? Are you kidding me? And I never looked back, and I have no regrets, none. And and to get, you want to get to that, don't, oh man, he never had a match to earn that belt. I had 150,000 matches to earn that title as world heavyweight champion, and then have to wrestle Kevin Von Erich every stinking night for 13 months, and then give it back to him in the drizzling rain at the Cotton Bowl. And him don't even want to do the damn finish. Had to beat the living you know what out of him every stinking night. And he didn't even realize he was in a fight.
Oh, no.
Right? You know, you don't, until you walk in another man's shoes, don't say nothing bad about him.
Yeah.
All right, what are we watching now, brother?
Dogs of War against you and the Rattlesnake.
That is. That's Rattlesnake, brother. Yeah. He actually thought he was a rattlesnake. brother, this may be this is when me and Rattlesnake and Johnny Mantell, I think, we jumped it. Oh man, look at them boots, brother. That guy's name is Rattlesnake.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the WWE Hall of Fame?
Brother, you don't want, who are you asking me? Michael's asking me that again?
Yes, the PG version of it.
Hall of Fame. Okay, I'll tell you. You know, if you'll notice, if you ain't working for Vince McMahon, or you haven't dedicated your life to Vince McMahon's bull, Pookie, then you don't get in his Hall of Fame. When you get inducted into a Hall of Fame, it is an honor. It is they're showing you that guy in the beard, that's Rick Manning. Me and that dude went to high school together. They're showing you the respect and the honor and what you don't get paid $5,000 back when I was up there. That's what they give for that. Now it's probably 10 grand plus a big old giant ring. It says ring of Hall of Fame or some kind of guy, bull, bull. But if you, okay. And I don't want to say a whole lot bad about old Vince McMahon, but if you take it up poop shoot, then you get into Hall of Fame. Okay, that's about as nice as I can put it.
And that dadgum thing can do about it.
A dadgum thing they're going to be able to do about it, because it's the honest to God's truth. Okay,
yeah.
And I seen the ones they're inducted in, and Batista, I more power to him.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves, if he can get in there and make that money, then I want him to make it. And then what was the next one that was they announced tonight?
NWO.
The NWO.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them, some guns are already in there.
Yeah, all of them. All four of them.
How many times do you get inducted into a Hall of Fame? I'm in the Hall of Fame in Wichita Falls, and to me, that is the, they don't pay you. You have to earn that right. You have to work your fanny off for that right. You have to sweat blood tears, and you have to make miles and pay your dues, and then you get inducted into a Hall of Fame. You don't make $1 million. You don't get 5, 10 gold rings on your finger. It's a honor and a blessing and appreciation from your I want to say elders, not maybe elders ain't the right word, Chris. Boy, if I could slap you, I'd slap you sick, boy, because it the Hall of Fame is an honor. Okay. Now, in the state of Texas, there was like 4 or 5, maybe 20 or 30 territories. Okay. In Oklahoma, you jump over Oklahoma, there's 2 territories in Oklahoma. Up in over to Louisiana, there's territory over there. You can jump over to Mexico, there was 2 territories over there, and there was 4 territories right here in the state of Texas when I started. Mm-hmm. And I'm in almost every one of the Hall of Fames around this 4 or 5 state area. Okay. I was inducted into the main Hall of Fame when it was up in New York. That's where they moved this one from, to Wichita Falls. Mm-hmm. And that's where, and Johnny Mantell and Kay takes care of that dadgum thing, and they do a very good job on it. And I love both of them with all my heart, and my hat's off to you. Johnny's down there 4 or 5 times a week keeping that thing up, and to me, that's an honor, you know. WWE, you know, they right now to this very day, they're showing my matches up there. You can pretty much plug into them, and it's a match of Black Bart against somebody.
Yeah,
old Black Bart was doing jobs up there because old Vince McMahon brought me up there to show me how much I could made if I'd have went up there when I went up there when Blackjack Mulligan and Beefcakes would beat up, well, lost the hair match. They're going to bring me up there, and my old lady is Sarah Joe Puckett, and put J.J. Dillon and me and Bass back together as the Long Riders, and all that stuff, all of it, and put us against Beefcakes. But Vince McMahon decided that if anybody told them or told me that it was nothing but a 3-day tryout, they would be fired, and I wouldn't get the push anyway. Wow. So I had been working for Jim Crockett for 25 years. I was making over 100 grand with Crockett. Why don't I want to go up there for a 3-day tryout? You know, I mean, think about it, and it's just danged if you do, and danged if you don't. It's just that simple. He brought me up there because I stayed with Crockett at the time, which Crockett was WCW. And that's where I stayed. That's where I spent almost all my career, except when I come home to Texas, and I had a place here anytime I wanted to come home for a vacation or whatever. And that's one thing I tried to cushion and make sure that I could make a good living in the state of Texas or Louisiana, somewhere around here, and be able to come home and visit and be with my family, and then go back out on the road. That's the way it was done. Okay.
Yeah.
But getting into Vince McMahon's Hall of Fame, it's a big thing. Yes. Big. He's the biggest organization in the world, but it don't mean to true heart, it don't mean a rat's, you know what, as my old friend Ronnie Bass said, it don't make a rat's
bleep
that you're in that or not in that, because it's just you're making money. That's what you're making money, and then, you know, and that's what some guys, that's what it's all about. I like making money too, but sometimes you got to say, like, you know, them families up there will pay $150 for a VIP ticket to wrestle Kate, okay? Mm-hmm. And they get one little thing, and they get an 8x10 picture autograph. They made the 8x10s up. I sign it, give it to them if they got a VIP pass with Black Bart on it, okay? And but then there's another little kid standing there. His little sister, or his little brother, that are vice versa. One of them ain't getting nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So I take one of my 8x10 pictures, sign it, and give it to the little fella. You understand where I'm coming from? Nice. Because I know it's okay, brother. You, as far as I'm concerned, you done paid for that.
For sure.
I give away my bandanas and I don't know.
Just don't give away that 10-gallon hat.
Don't worry, brother. they wanted to buy it. Don't think they didn't. They wanted to buy my Long Rider jacket and the dadgum. Main thing they want is that dadgum branding iron, and that ain't nothing That ain't nothing but 3/4-inch smooth rebar. Mm-hmm. It was metal pulled out of a stack of metal. It was just going to get cut up, and we formed it and made BB on the end of it and welded it together. And I wrapped it around Kevin Von Erich's head and damn near killed him, but still going good. That's what everybody wants, is that dadgum branding iron. My old lady said she's getting the branding iron, she's getting the hat, and she's getting a Long Rider jacket because she deserves it, and she does. So
there you
go. I have to deal with her after I'm gone. Hopefully 100. That dadgum Kirk Douglas is 103 years old.
Yeah,
he looks worse. He's older than time, but brother, I look better than he does.
All right.
65 on January the 30th is Mark's birthday.
Nice. I turned
65, man.
And nice.
I'm going to get my teeth fixed, and I'm going to dye my hair black, and I'm going to get me a brand new hat. I'm going to get me a brand new branding iron, and I'm going to get me brand new boots, and I'm going to go back into wrestling.
That sounds good to me. And let's celebrate your, hit me up. Let's celebrate your 65th birthday on the show.
Well, we can do it, brother.
Yeah,
on, I'll keep this thing charged up. I didn't know we could do stuff like this on here.
Yeah.
I like this because I can see who I'm talking to. At least one person I'm talking to.
Yep.
Can't call you guests or nothing like that. But I ain't got nothing planned for my birthday. I just seem to spend it with you as anybody else, brother.
Sounds good. All right, two more quick questions. One is from Robbie. He's asking, you mentioned the Sportatorium. I'm a Texan born and raised. The Von Erichs cut their teeth at the Sportatorium. Do you have any Von Erich stories?
Oh, my God, brother. All seems like all I have is Von Erich stories. But, brother, I got so many dadgum Von Erich stories, it's not even funny. The Von Erich, they say don't candy coat and don't, they won't. Back in the day we had to take care of them and that dude that just got drop kicked is Rick Fowler. He's one of my best friends, man.
Oh, nice.
I haven't seen a picture of him in so long he died.
Boom!
He died like a snake. I believe that's the first time that boy ever won any match. But them Von Erichs, I love them. I love them. I wrestled Kevin. I wrestled Kerry. I knew David, and never wrestled David a lot, but I knew Kevin. I knew Dave, and before he died, Dave went out of the state of Texas, brother, and he come to Atlanta. He was in Japan. He was in Florida. He was in Virginia, West Virginia. He traveled and he carried the Von Erich name outside of the outside of the wrestling, just here in Texas. If Dave would still been alive this very day, we would have a territory right here, Chris. Okay, we would be making. I'm gonna tell a quick story about Fritz. Okay, Fritz was like a god to me. Fritz was he hung the moon and the sun's rose and set on Fritz von Erich in my house, my daddy's house. And my daddy's name is Leon Sr. My daddy ain't that dadgum bunkhouse hoo-hoo Harris. And my last name ain't Harris, but it was my wrestling name. Yeah. And if that dumb, when Fritz had Channel 11 and Channel 39 was coming in to intertwine, and they were going to be in syndicate. What is the word I'm looking for?
Syndicate, yeah.
Like worldwide, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide.
Yep.
This is before McMahon. This is before Crockett. This is before any of them sapsuckers. Fritz had it right in the palm of his hand. He was in a meeting with Channel 39 and Channel 11 and all the rest of those channels to make it go worldwide, okay? Mm-hmm. And I just learned this Thanksgiving weekend, okay? And he had it in his power, and he was in a meeting to get it done, and the superstation would have been Channel 11 or Channel 39, or they'd have picked one of them, and that would have been the superstation instead of TBS out of Atlanta, Georgia, okay? Oh. When Fritz was in a meeting with him, and he walked out of the meeting with David Manning and Bronco Lubitsch, and Akbar was probably there, and Ed Watts and all them guys was there. And Fritz looked at all of them and said, "Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it." They said, Kevin and Kerry cannot carry the world.
Hmm.
And it was over with. That was it. That's when the WCCW went down the tubes.
Wow.
And plus, and I'm going to say it because it's the truth, the Von Erichs snorted the business up their nose. Okay. Mm-hmm. The great Von Erichs, they did, there's one of them that wanted to be a wrestler. One, David Von Erich wanted to be a wrestler. The rest of them wanted to be a football player, wanted to be a discus thrower. One of them wanted to be track runner, you know, track and field. They did not want. Chris went to his daddy and said, "Pops, I don't want to wrestle. I can't. I got to get out." When he was and Fritz told him, "The Von Erichs take care of the Von Erichs."
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bald-faced lie. We took care of the Von Erichs. We made the Von Erichs famous. The Freebirds made the Von Erichs famous. Their daddy made them famous. They got it handed to them. And that was, it's the truth. That's the truth. And then after the deal happened with me with the World Strap, the territory was doing like $1,000 a night. We was wrestling 7 days a week. Okay, no days off, seven straight days every week. It didn't matter. If you didn't like it, you left. And we started, and I had help. But Bruiser Brody was against Abdullah the Butcher. Brody lost the match, loser Lee Town. Brody come back as Red River Jack under a hood. Bart is the one that had to wrestle him 100 million times and go out and try to knock each other out just to see if we could.
Yeah.
We didn't. I never knocked him out, and he never knocked me out. But sometimes I thought I was walking knocked out. I may be knocked out right now. I can't tell. But the thing about the Von Erichs was they had it all handed to them in a silver platter. 6 months after I took that belt, we was averaging $10,000 a night in all these little spot shows around the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. Brother, that's 70 grand a week.
For sure.
And every week, I wrestled Kevin for 13 months, okay? Wound up in a cotton bowl, drizzling rain, 45 degrees, sold out, okay? We was like the, I believe we was the main event, but Brody and Abdullah was in there too. I love Frank to death, brother, and I love Abby to death, but some stories that guys tell ain't the truth. You know, it's candy coated. And there's nothing candy coated about me. I'll tell you straight to your face. I'll tell you the same as I will just right here. The Von Erichs were the Von Erichs' own nightmare. Okay. They did it to themselves. All right. Nobody else. All we did is try to help them get better. And it didn't take. It didn't take. It didn't take. Okay. And I'm sorry, but I love the boys. I love Fritz. I never got to meet their mother, but anyway. Yeah. About the Von Erichs. Anyway, I don't want to, you know, that I don't want to say nothing. I'm not gonna say something that ain't true, and I don't want to dwell and hammer but I'm not going to candy coat it no more. I'm done. I told Chris when I started that I want to tell the truth. I'm trying to write a book. I've got about 5 tapes on the book already, back and front on it, and I'm looking for somebody to put my stories, to get them out there, get them in a book, and get them out there.
Yeah,
I think it'll sell like hotcakes, but you know, I don't know how. I don't know who to go to at this point. But I mean, and I can't put dates on it. That's another thing. But I know they got, you know, they got. I was looking on Facebook. They've got a deal with every dadgum belt that I've held. All up and up, you know, what year, mm-hmm. what date, who I dropped it to. The time periods, as long that they don't put the truth about how long I held the belts. That's a bald faced lie. My birthday's mm-hmm. a bald faced lie. My daddy ain't who they say my daddy is. I am not married to Michelle. I'm married to Linda. And before Linda, I was married to Bonnie, and a lot of people know Linda, and a lot of people knew Bonnie, and some people don't even realize that Bonnie is dead. But Al Perez is very close to me and my wife Bonnie. He didn't even realize she was dead, brother, and she's been dead 18 years or something like that. 14 years or something like that.
Wow.
And still love her. I love her to death. But
last question from Lexi. Now that you have a grandson, do you want him following your legacy in wrestling, or would you prefer him to pursue another career?
Well, my wife has said that he's going to be a fireman or a construction worker or something, but he ain't going to be no
he's gonna be the real Texas Compact.
You ain't gonna be able to, unless you work for Vince McMahon. But before, I would love for him to follow in my footsteps. But right now, I've got a nephew that wrestles with Black Bart Jr. And I go to the ring with him every now and then, and I give it to him because my son is acting stupid and got locked up and was going to be locked up for a while. That's why I got his son, and we've got full custody of him. And if when he gets old enough to make his decision, and if I'm around and if I can help him, you know, I help him any way I can. I'll do whatever I can to help him along. But you know, with Vince McMahon not liking me, and Vince McMahon is the doer, then it's a little hard. It's a little hard to say I want to help him. But he I want to say something about Dustin Rhodes and his brother
Cody.
Who?
Cody.
Cody. You see, they went, Ted Turner owned WCW. Okay. Ted Turner, when had WCW, brother, we were right there as big, maybe, and sometimes bigger. We were bigger than WWF, okay, which is now WWE. Cody Rhodes went to Ted Turner and said, "Let's do it. Come on, buddy, let's do it. Let's just and Ted Turner is doing it. TNT, brother. Something like that.
AEW.
But they took what where we ended up, minus that silly NWO crap that you still see, and even to the Four Horsemen. I helped invent the Four Horsemen. I brought Arn Anderson from Pensacola, Florida, when he was Dundee wrestling under a hood with P-Head, and I brought him out of Pensacola. He was starving to death, and talked to Dusty and got him a job as with the Minnesota Wrecking Crew as Arn Anderson. That's wow. Old. Thank old Bart for that one too. That was me. I done that. And the last time I talked to him, he looked at me like I was a worthless piece of trash. Okay, and supposed to be my friend. You know, I don't ask them guys for nothing. I don't need nothing from them. I don't want nothing from them. But they need to know that the guys that blazed them roads back in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. We traveled 10,000 miles a week in a car, okay? Mm-hmm. We wrestled Monday, Tuesday, six or seven times on Wednesday, Thursday, twice on Friday, twice on Stoke. If you've done TBS, you could wrestle 10 times Saturday, all right? Wow. And then Sunday three times, all right? And then start the whole week over again. And that was every week. It didn't falter. It didn't change. If you didn't like it, you left. And now they work a couple of weeks a month and then they have the big pay per view. Dusty told me years ago, he said, "Bart, listen to me, brother. It will be a day come in professional wrestling when you ain't doing nothing but pay per views." And that's pretty much what they're doing. They're doing TVs and pay per views, and they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars doing it. And my hat is off to them. I wish I'd have been there. I got baseball cards of me out there that in big sheets, like 10 by 12 sheets of all the guys and not just one poses, but maybe three or four poses of Black Bart on there. And they're still being blocked and sold. And I got paid $50 for it.
Wow.
$50. Now, the kicker to that is in Europe, they got littler baseball cards, or old Black Bart running around that's being black marketed in Europe. Okay. I wrestled Aldo Vance when I was in WCCW. I went over while Brody was getting killed in Puerto Rico. Brody called me and said, "Bart, call this number and get over." I went over to Europe. It's Europe. Aldo Vance, they wrestled in a building the same night, every night for 7 months. We had a knockdown, stinking, bloody bath, okay? It was for his title, not mine. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I put him over. It was his hometown. I'm sorry, brother.
No, you're good, man. I appreciate you once again. Thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure.
Let me get in. I want, like I said, I went out to WrestleCade.
Yeah.
They fly me out there and they fly me in coach and I can't I can't fly coach no more. Okay. I'm not going to fly coach no more. You know, I'll come and do autographs and talk, and I can talk blue streak, you know, and I love talking to the fans. I love the fans, and I want everybody to know that if you want Black Bart on your card or whatever, on your autograph people or whatever like that, you can, I'll come and you pay me, but I want, it's gotta be first class. Okay. I'm not flying. And they made them airplanes where the, you know, I'm 6'4" and I'm about 320, 330, 340, somewhere around. My knees touch the seats in front of me. Okay. The seat belts, the regular seat belts, I can't snap them. I snapped them when I was 375 pounds. And now I have to get an extension to snap the dadgum seat belt. And it dang near killed me, brother, coming back. They picked me up at inside the where you walk out the plane where the tunnel starts. We're in a wheelchair right there. And put my bag on back of the wheelchair, and he wheeled me coming home at DFW. He wheelchaired me all the way to the little train that we caught to go to get our cars, get our cars and go home. From now on, brother, if you want Black Bart, it's first class. It's because I have to. If you want me, when I land, I'm not go had just have to go straight to the dadgum hospital and be done with it. But I'm, like I say, I'm available, and there's a lot of people that knows how to get in touch with me. And I wrestled out in California and out in that area, and I love coming out there to them Coliseums, because they had trash cans. They had 55-gallon trash cans full of beer. And I loved it, brother. I'd go out and wrestle third or fourth match with WWF, and then sit back there and hide in the dressing room and sneak beer back to where I would build a little mid-shift dressing room. But that's another story. I'll talk about that next time. And I love each and every one of y'all. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And may God bless each and every one of y'all. And remember that old Black Bart loves each and every one of you. I think you were on here when you
said Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I think you were on here last December too.
Was I? Yeah,
December the 18th. December the 18th of last year. Isn't that crazy?
Pretty close.
Yeah, almost a week from. I'm like a week. Oh, next week would have been a year.
Well, brother, I'm glad that you. I'm glad that you remember me, and you know, Sid don't want to be on here. I'll be on here anytime you want. All you got to do.
That's what I like to hear.
I love talking. I love sharing, and just God bless each and every one of you. God bless you, Chris. And I love y'all, man.
We need a promo before you leave, man.
And you want a promo? Come on now.
Yes, absolutely. A live promo. Hold on. Let me make sure that you get the names right.
I'm going to just say Chris. I got Chris right here in front of me. Chris Pro. What is that, brother? Pro Life?
Prolific. Yeah, that's my Twitter handle. That
ain't your last name. Your last name's Witherspoon.
No, it's Featherstone. Featherspoon.
I'll just play with you. There you go. Now we see there. All right. Baby. Chris Featherstone, Pancakes, and Power Slam.
Yes,
got it, brother. You me in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's been wonderful, just like always. I'm not feeling well, but this definitely makes me feel better. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Bart is.
You know what? I just got back from WrestlePain, and you know these dead dumb people still can't get enough. Oh, Black Bart. Oh, Chris Featherstone was under the weather. And brother, one of the wrestlers said, I ain't going to make it. I'm going to no-show him. And he said, Mark, I need your help. And I said, brother, let me get my cape on. I'm coming to the rescue. Let me get this thing plugged in and call my old lady and get her down here. And she fixed it and got her done. And thanks to Linda, my old lady, we made it happen. Merry Christmas to every dumb one of you. Oh. I love you, brother.
Always a pleasure, man. Love you back, man. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Later, brother.
All right. Old Black Bart, man. Old Black Bart. That was awesome, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Bart. It's been a pleasure, man. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. What a promo. That was the first Black Bart live promo that you got from that. And that was awesome, man. Appreciate you all. Not feeling well today, but show must go on, and we're gonna have some fun regardless. All right. Thanks for PNP Nation for staying with me. We got about 30 minutes. What's going on, Michael? Glad for you to join us. So yeah, we got about 30 minutes. So we're gonna talk a little bit about headlines. Then we're gonna talk about TLC main events. We're gonna do some TLC predictions. I got a few more Survivor Series questions that I didn't ask last week. So here's the first trivia. Who was the captain of the All-Americans team at Survivor Series 1993? Captain of the All-Americans team, Survivor Series 1993. All right. So let's we got about 30 minutes to finish up the show here. So yeah, thanks for all your support. Thanks for your continued support for the Pancakes and Power Slam show. You guys are super awesome. We're gonna get into the headlines. So let's start with the first headline is right here. Here we go. So we got Luke Harper, Sin Cara, and this is from WWE.com. I'm seeing guesses, but not the correct guess yet. Okay, yes, I will deal with that, Lexi. Good question. Definitely. I will address that. She's asking about Matt Hardy. So Luke Harper, Sin Cara, Connor, and Victor of the Ascension all released. So very interesting because Harper wanted to leave months and months ago. Kept him, brought him back. There you go, Ryan. Lex Luger. Next trivia question before we get into Luke Harper and Lexi's question. 1993 Survivor Series. Was that? Here's a multiple choice for you. You see that? Matter of fact, let me do this real quick so I can ask this. 1993 Survivor Series was at A, Richmond, Virginia, B, New York City, New York, or C, Boston, Massachusetts. A little Q&A, a little multiple choice for you. Oh, Mo, you say, yeah. You said Lexi first. Lex Luger. Oh, man, my camera. There we go. That's better. All right. So, yeah. So, let's get to Luke Harper. Let's do Lexi's question first, and then we'll get into Luke Harper. Thanks, Robbie. Interview was awesome. Kind of knew Von Erichs were dabbling drugs, but I didn't know extended until Black Bart gave the straight dope, so to speak. Indeed, indeed. let's address Lexi's question here. Matt Hardy tweeted earlier today, seemingly signaling that he was looking to leave WWE. His wife responded with a not so cryptic comment alluding the upcoming split being messy. My thoughts. All right, so let's dive into that, and we're going to bring in Evan Tech Prout. all right, so Matt Hardy, I didn't see that tweet. I'll bring it up for everybody. again, excuse me, guys, for my under the weather-ness. But it's happened before in the many, many years that you all have been a part of the PNP Nation and was able to bounce back just like the other times. All right, so let's dive into the Matt Hardy tweet here. So he says, I needed to return to WWE to finish the right way. Let me enlarge this, actually. I'm going to enlarge it. I'm going to enlarge it. Yes. All right. Here we go. Bringing Evertech Proud in as well. How you doing, sir?
Doing all right. Can you hear me okay? Because I hear like an echo.
I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. You fine now.
Cool. I needed to return to WWE to finish the right way. I didn't want 2020 to be my finale. I returned the most epic way and repaid my debt. I waved the WWE flag with pride and worked hard to be a model employee. My conscience is clear and I am at peace. So, and then Rebby, excuse me, she tweeted, hold on a second. Repaid. Okay. So I'll show this one here. Repaid your debt. Right here. Actually, I'll play it. Repaid your debt. Oh, it has some vulgarity in it. But I'll read it. It says, repays your debts. But they'll still rub it in your face every chance they get. That's okay. We don't pretend the less than perfect blank never happened here. So Rebby usually shoots it. If you want to know how Matt Hardy really feels, look at Rebby Hardy's Twitter. Specifically, Matt won't say it. We saw that with all the TNA stuff too. Matt won't say it, but Rebby will. So that's usually how it is with her Twitter account. I don't know, man. Right now with Jeffrey Nero being out, trying to get himself together personally, and it really doesn't seem like there's much of anything left for Matt Hardy. He's got. I think he's still got some mileage. I definitely think he's still got some mileage. But it's sad that someone put so much time into. I mean, he was over like when he was gone for a while, and then he came back a couple weeks ago on Raw, like a week or two ago on Raw. Man, he wasn't even in his hometown, and the place went bananas. So Matt Hardy's still super popular. He's still got some mileage on him, but it's crazy how WWE. I mean, they see it. I'm sure that they see it. But for some reason, they use people like Matt Hardy as utility players where Matt Hardy has enough stock in him to be actually like accrue a winning streak. And if they want to push someone like a Buddy Murphy, if they want to push someone like a Drew McIntyre, Matt Hardy can like feud with someone like an Andrade or something like that and build some steam as a babyface. He's already over by the crowd. And then he can put someone over like a Drew McIntyre or Buddy Murphy or whoever they want to do instead of just throwing them out there on Raw and losing. It just makes no sense to me.
Excuse me. Hope you can hear me. I just ran with a little cough. We're both a little never under the weather, but it's reason why I can remember. Excuse me, Matthew Hardy. His recent the past 2 or 3 years, his steam and his popularity is not because of WWE. So we all know how he is. Excuse me, if they can't control it, they have nothing to do with it. They're not gonna recognize it. They bought him in, you know, WrestleMania. We was there, one of the biggest pops in history. That was cool. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, that went okay. The whole, you know, first they didn't want to acknowledge the delete thing. Then they had no choice. Right. And it died down. And then when they did the tag team with Bray, then WWE all of a sudden wanted to be on his because they created it.
Right.
And then, of course, sadly, woke, you know, Bray was in an accident. He dealt with, you know, the minor injuries. The woken, right. The only time WWE's been really behind Matthew Hardy is when it was something they could control. Mm-hmm. We all know he was in TNA Impact, Anthem. Their broken thing was the biggest thing that year. Everybody knew about broken. Definitely. Hardy and Delete, Vanguard One, and his wife and Senior Benjamin. So
Skarsgård.
I mean, hey, and he's a rare case because you look at, yeah, right. You look at Matt, look at Jeff. Is there a rare case of they're like middle age, so they're not old, but they're not young. So they're like old for his wrestling years, but they're still young enough to where they still could go, but they're old enough to have years of experience to help out, you know, the four kids of the world and the sucklings of the, you know, the wrestling generation now helping with timing and charisma.
Yeah.
But hey, his contract is up in April. I don't see WWE renewing Brother Nero. And if WWE doesn't renew his contract in April, he can go to AEW. He can go to Ring of Honor. I mean, so much stuff. They can really be creative. When you look at Luke Harper, we'll talk about it later. You know what Luke Harper said on his tweet? No, he's free. So,
yeah.
We'll just have to see.
I think the Hardys going back to Ring of Honor would be fantastic. I mean, talk about like reviving, you know, talk about boosting the tag team division.
They need a revival.
Yes, yes. So that would be fantastic. So yeah, let's address Lexi's comment there.
Lexi Express, one of the best people to ask questions.
Yes, always. All right, so. WWE's welcome son. Yeah. So Ryan, they announced that yesterday. McIntyre announced that yesterday the their third child. All right, so let's also put Lexi's question on here, which is a good one. With stars like Luke Harper, who left Charlotte, and CN trademarking their alternate wrestling names. For those who don't know, Andrade trademarked CN, and Charlotte trademarked Ashley Flair, I believe. Do you see larger stars leaving WWE for better conditions in the coming year? Now, here's the thing. One of the biggest things right now is the contracts. Is the contracts going on right now, and they're having super duper long contracts, you know, 3-5 year contracts, because I mean, you know, to kind of have that advantage, you know what I mean? And so if someone's under contract and they sign a 3-5 year contract, it's up to WWE to let him go or not. I mean, that's why they froze Mysterio before he left in 2014. That's why they froze Harper. You know, and so they have that. It's funny because you're an independent contractor, but you're under a contract, and they have, you know, rights to freeze you and tell you what you can or can't interview. I didn't get the right answer for this yet, where the 1993 Survivor Series was. But I think people are getting prepared, Lexi, for that stuff. Just to, you know, just so they can have a good fallback, which I think is very, very smart, because Luke Harper, you know, the thing is, here's the thing about Luke Harper. He'll be, I think he's 39. He'll be 40 soon, probably, I think, in a few months. Mm-hmm. He turns 40. Actually, he turns 40 in 5 days. So he turns 40 at the end of the week. So he'll be 40 years old. And unfortunately he's injury prone. He's lost a ton of weight. But yes, Mo, good job. C, Boston, Massachusetts. Boston.
Get to see how the Mo looks.
Yeah, he's on Facebook too. So hashtag ask Chris, what's up, Jesus? We'll get to that here about Seth's turn. Good question. We'll talk about that raw chat. All right. So yeah, I think it's a good call, man. I think it's good. I think it's smart business. The thing is about Harper, though, I think that he just kind of runs the risk. If I had my way, I think he should join Villain Enterprises. I think that would be a really good thing for him. I think him and Brody Lee teaming together, I mean, Brody King. And the thing is, Luke Harper used to be called Brody Lee before he became Luke Harper. And you have Brody King. You have Brody King being a part of Villain Enterprises. I think Brody Lee and Brody King teaming together, I think that would be phenomenal. And so, but the thing is, Marty may be on his way out, but if he stays, I think Luke Harper joining the Villain Enterprises and Ring of Honor would be a perfect place for him to go. And as far as as far as Sin Cara, I mean, as Hunico, I'd imagine AAA. I mean,
let's go to Mexico. Like Indies.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean that in a mean way. He just,
yeah, the Ascension.
Take the mask off and reinvent himself.
Yeah. yeah. That's sad. What's up, Michael? First time listening, man. Appreciate you. Sadly, you're the first time listening. When I'm sick. So this is the 402nd episode. This is the seventh. We've had this throw on Evan here. He's been with me for about 3 years. And I started my show in April of 2012. This is the 402nd week, straight week, I've had the show. So thank you for joining for the first time tonight. So we really appreciate you joining us. Okay, so Mo thinks the Ascension can join the Dark Order. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. That gimmick is just kind of run down, really. My episode number, not the title. I'll get that, Mo. I'll get that together after the show. All right, ACH quitting. Let's talk about ACH quitting pro wrestling. I'll let you chime in on that.
temporary.
Yeah.
Temporary. We know that, you know, with us talking to ACH on air, off air, knowing them before a few years, not saying we're friends with them, but you commune with them, if you will. He does have a history of dealing with some mental illness, and with my personal experience of working professionally and personally with people that has different types of mental illnesses, and you Chris, you're a certified life coach. And I got a background with counseling students at college. I worked there for 10 years. And you're going to see this trend. You know, you're very upset WWE, quit WWE. So it's more of a lashing out of anger. And normally you tend to see that any make impulse decisions of I quit, I don't care. It's temporary. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to say I'm wrong, but I've seen this happen tons of times with even people in the business that we don't know about publicly, or people in other businesses that I do. They'll make an impulse decision, they'll put on Facebook, they'll put on Instagram or what have you, I quit, I'm done. Maybe this needs to take a break, but I don't foresee this as being anything permanent. Could be a month or two, he'll be back wrestling. I can't see him just quitting. Period. Maybe this needs a break. Take time out, get yourself together. He'll be back.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is good for him. I think he needs to take some time away just to take care of himself more than anything. So yeah, I definitely think he should pay attention to that. All right, Batista and the NWO being inducted into WWE's 2020 Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen. Totally cool with Batista being in there. I would even say him headlining. I'm totally cool with it. Well deserved, without a doubt. Well deserved. With the NWO though. Now, so these are the two, basically, you know, the two headliners. Man, you know, I knew the NWO was going to go in, but. I definitely think that X-Pac should have went in there with DX. But with NWO, it's just weird to me. You know, I was having this conversation. He definitely deserves to be in the NWO, that's for sure. But Pac, he was the sixth member of the NWO. And so I'm like, okay, so does three and four, I mean, does four and five make it? Does Rick Rude and Ted DiBiase, do they make it as the NWO members? You know, yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to me that, you know, Pac, this is the second straight year that Pac has been in the Hall of Fame. I if it was up to me, honestly, it just seems like it was a weird choice to add Pac into a four-man in it, because the NWO was Hogan, Hall, and Nash. And so it just seems like there was a WWE decision, like this is the WWE's version of the NWO. It's just weird because when I think of NWO, Six was, you know, he was, you know, he made his... He made his traction, you know. He made his grounding in the NWO when he was feuding with, you know, like Eddie Guerrero and especially Ric Flair. I think it was Dean Malenko he was feuding with too. But it's just weird to me that he's in the NWO when you think of NWO, you definitely don't think of Pac, you know, within the first 3, 4, 5 people, and then the NWO is Hogan, Hall, and Nash. I just don't see why you would add a fourth person in that. It's just weird to me.
Because it's WWE once again having to have their own hands. You gotta have our own fingerprint, footprint in this. And I'm cool with Sean. Fan of the show. Talked to Sean tons of times. Funny dude. And what I like about Sean, being a kid, you know, he takes responsibility up front. You know, if he doesn't do something, hey, I apologize. You know,
I agree with this.
Mistakes he's made. I always get that to Sean. When you think of the NWO, Virgil has had more NWO moments.
you know, Scott Norton. Pac was what in NWO for what a few months, and then he had the incident and he downloaded on Raw that time, and then he was like, I want the axe, and
yeah,
he did the pipe bomb, and then you think of Pac, you know, X Pac, I should say, you can't see Pac or Pac, you think of AEW.
Never.
If you think of kid, you think, when you think of kid, you think about
He'll be back. His audio drop. DiBiase's already in singles. He's already in the Hall of Fame, as far as I know. That would be terrible if he's not. I thought he was in there, though. 2010. Yep. He's in there. Yeah. So I agree, Michael. It should have been an original three. Hogan, Hall, and Nash. I mean, that's the NWO. Go ahead, Evan.
Just let anybody know, dealing with some network issues here in Baltimore. We're dealing with heavy rain and freezing rain mix. So if I go in and out,
you good, man. No problem.
Dealing with that. And they had to refresh the page a few times. But, yeah, there needs to be Hogan, Hall, and Nash. If you add a fourth, it should be Bischoff. I mean, gosh, you could even add Big Show in it. I mean, Big Show did more in the NWO. Pac, you think of Pac, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, two. Bischoff. Yeah, that's a good point. Why isn't Bischoff in the NWO? I mean, in the Hall of Fame with the NWO? Pac, Bischoff had a much better, you know, impression on the NWO's growth than Pac did. And again, like you said, Evan, it's no knock on Waltman at all. He's in the NW. He's in the Hall of Fame with DX, and he should be. I'm glad that he, you know, that, I think that was well deserved. He actually said recently in an interview that he doesn't even want a singles introduction. But you know, a two-time Hall of Famer with two groups, and again, like I said, I think Bischoff made a bigger impression in the NWO than Pac did. Again, no disrespect to Pac, but it just seems like it's a Triple H move to just throw Pac in there because, you know, it's three of the four, you know, three of the five members of the clique. You know what right. I mean? It's just a weird thing to me, man. It's just a weird. It seems like it's a Triple H WWE move. It doesn't make any sense. The NWO is Hogan, Hall, and Nash. So I don't understand why they.
And I'm going to say this too because a lot of people ask this. About Batista, Big Dave. I think Big Dave, in my opinion, is Hall of Fame worthy. Six-time world champion. I mean, two-time WWE, four-time world, two-time Rumble winner. He's the second biggest star outside of WWE besides The Rock. In some areas, if you add all of the gross movie. Technically, if you had just the gross numbers, Batista's been in a lot of higher profile movies than The Rock. You got the Marvel movies, the Avengers, and the Guardians, and all of that. But Batista's Hall of Fame. I mean, if you think about the mid-millennium, far as 2004, 5, up to about 2010, 2011, Batista was the flag bearer of SmackDown. Think about SmackDown around that time. Batista, Edge, and Jibble, JBL. He carried SmackDown, you know. So, you know, Triple H put him over at WrestleMania 21, and he's done everything. So, but then it makes you think WWE starting to run out of people.
Mm-hmm. Like
you got Batista deserving. Edge, I think, was a little earlier because, you know, Christian still hasn't been in, Demolition still hasn't been in.
Yes, it was Eric's idea.
Right. So, I mean, Rock and Roll Express isn't in.
Rock and Roll. They went in a couple of years ago, I think.
No. I'm sorry, Rock and Roll. Midnight.
Midnight's not in.
Come on, man. I mean, Dennis. And I still say this, and this could be a question for the chat. I feel like this, in my opinion. You know, I've talked to Cornette off air. I've talked to Bobby Eaton and I've talked to Stan Lane. I feel the Midnight Express needs to be four. It needs to be Joe Cornette, Bobby Eaton, Dennis Condrey, and Stan Lane. Because all four of them exemplified the Midnight Express. Awful. You can't think of the Midnight Express and not think about them four. That's my opinion. Because you can't do a disservice to Dennis Condrey.
I don't think they'll put Condrey in because of the fact that they didn't put Oli in for the Horseman.
Yeah, but
isn't that crazy?
But Condrey doesn't necessarily have bad blood with anybody. Condrey just he just dipped. You know, true. Dennis is left. You know,
that's true. But I mean,
Warrior
had bad blood. Savage had bad blood. I don't really think. Yeah. I mean, unless you're just like actively just and you know, to that point, I don't know much about that story. I think Bart said something about it before about the bad blood with him and Vince on one of the episodes of the show.
Yeah, I think he did. We know possibly the popular choice would be Stanley, Bobby, and Jim.
Yeah, that's probably
from what I know from inside. Dennis don't have heat from anybody. He just get a Butch Reed. You know, some people just get up and decide, like Stan Lane. Stan Lane's a farmer now. I talked to him last year. He doesn't do many interviews. He's living a regular life. Or trying to. Some people just want to live a life outside of wrestling. So, I think it would be easier. Like we seen Bruno get in because Triple H got to talk to him. You know, he was vocal. God rest his soul. And you know, with Warrior because of Linda and Triple H. So I think it would be more feasible for Dennis to get in as opposed to Oli because Oli just been black. Oli been blackballed. You know, the heat with Oli and the Horseman and Flair and all of that. And no one knows where Oli is, like Dynamite. You said put British Bulldog in the Hall of Fame.
Now that's long overdue.
I mean,
long overdue.
They put Ruse and they put Hennen in the Hall of Fame. Why not put Davey Boy?
I mean, well, there's no argument at all. He's should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's just like why? I mean, we don't know the list yet. You know, other than these two, so he could be this year. There were some talks of having Bam Bam in last year, or this year, the 2019, because WrestleMania was in New Jersey, but that didn't happen. There were talks of Christian, that didn't happen. There was talks of Regal, that didn't happen. So, I mean, I don't know who's going to be in the list this year, but I would say Christian should be. Right now, it's a matter of like, what mid-carders, you know, not mid-card and upper main, you know, upper mid-card, you know, dab in the main event that can't headline. Like that's really the talk now of who's going to be in there now. I think Christian should be one of those
people. Here's the question. It's been talked about the balance. I'm going to tell you now, he had nowhere near Hall of Fame. And we already know if the Bellas get in, it's going to be because Nikki was seeing his bull bear. And you know, well, I can't remember the other one. Nikki and, why her name escaped me?
Nikki.
The Bellas. Bree. You know, Bree's married to Daniel. And Nikki used to be seen as bull bear. So, I've heard talks about the Bellas. I don't know if you have, Chris, but I have. And we're legit sports fans. You know, you love college football. I love the NFL. I love baseball. And I understand it's a work. And I get WWE. Everything is about power. Everything's politics. NFL Hall of Fame politics. Yeah. Everything's politics. But you get to the point where it's like, we still got to look at their credentials. Even though pro wrestling is a work, meaning that it's predetermined for the ending. It's still, you can't predetermine fans. Yes, please like this page. Please use the thumbs up. Thank you, Lucky. You can't predetermine the total fans who to like. You can't tell the fans who to pay money for. You know, people that are over. We've seen tons of Hall of Famers that got over. Brian,
Killer Bees are not Hall of Fame.
No, they're not. And, you know, we're good friends with Brian Blair. And that's a Hall of Fame team. Like, they're the Killer Bees with the masks or without.
For sure.
So it's just like, you know, you still gotta look at the credentials. Work, whether it be a work or not, you can't tell the fans. Whoever people decide to pay money the seed is organic. Whoever fans decide to spend time out of their, you know, take time out of their schedule to see is organic. Whoever the fans decide to get over, like Daniel Bryan with WWE, they want to move it, is organic. When WWF didn't want Foley to win the title, WWF had no choice and got Foley. So the balance.
No thanks. No thank you. So real quick, we have like 5 or so minutes. Bobby Roode and oh goodness, there was two of them. Bobby Roode and who else got pinged for the 30 days?
Primo
Cologne, yeah. Primo Cologne. And so very interesting stuff is now, could that be a way to no, Brian, Bundy's not in there either. yes, Mike, Michael Steamboat is. Yes, Jesus, I think both Bulldogs should go in. Yes, I think they should go in as a team. Yeah. But yeah, I was thinking about this. I said, you know what? Wonder if not saying that this is true. Wonder if that could be like a backdoor route of leaving the WWE. You know what? I'm just going to get suspended 3 times. I got 5 years left for my contract, but I'm going to get pinged. I'm going to get the violations, and they have to fire me. You have no choice. So that gives me
it's like
well, like with Robert Roode, for instance, like TJP, he did an AMA. I wrote about it. He did an AMA. He was talking about, you know, just WWE. If you're not one of the boys, like it's not good for you. And he said he even makes more money now than he got released in February. So it's been, you know, 10 months. He said that he made well over 6 figures, and he's making more money now with, you know, Impact in the Indies. And so my thing is, I'm wondering if people know that there's more money out there on the table, for instance. And I think it's a good point, Lexi. But here's the thing. I think that's interesting.
No. No. Remember who was one of the radicals?
Of Benoit.
He who we do not speak of.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as the bad rep, I don't condone, you know, any type of drug use at all, but I'm saying, for the fact of getting a contract release and someone's miserable, you know, like PEDs and stuff like that. So Robert Roode, for instance, in his situation, is similar to TJP. I think he can make a bunch of money outside of WWE. He was the main event guy in Impact, you know, before he went to WWE. So he'll be a main event guy again, you know, if he went back to Impact. So I think Impact would be the way to go for him, and I think that he would be very successful. And now he's, you know, he's Baron Corbin's crony. You know what I mean? Like, that would just be absolutely terrible. You know what I mean? Like, in a state where he is now being a top guy, Impact World Champion, head guy for the company, and he goes from there to being Baron Corbin's crony. It's just absolutely terrible.
It's feast and famine, man. It's WWE. It's you on top or your bottom. It's either you using a spiritual analogy. Either you in heaven, you in hell, you in purgatory. Purgatory, you just floating in the mist, just doing whatever, just lost cause, Lashley, Rusev, before he gets stuff. You know, heaven is you are always on top, things go well, you know, being on top of the mountain, or you in the valley, you just go well. Robert Roode was just tag champs, and then wasn't he IC champ, and then he was tag champs with Shorty G, and then Chance with Ziggler. We had the Glorious thing. Now he's just a fourth team member, sidekick. Now he's at home watching SmackDown and Raw like we are.
Yeah.
Probably won't return into the Rumble. And Primo, most people forget he even still with the company.
Yeah. I even know. I mean, I know that they were competing in for their dad recently, I think it was. And so yeah. I didn't even know that they were still around as far as just the WWE. Why are they just paying? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. They're just people. Like, the Ascension was off air. They were off the TV for 8 months, like 7-8 months, and didn't wrestle at all. And it's like
doing live events.
Crazy to me. Yeah, so they were at the anniversary back in August. Primo wrestled for the World Wrestling Council anniversary. They haven't wrestled. Primo hasn't wrestled in WWE since February 26th. The Colognes lost against Heavy Machinery.
That's about to be a year.
You haven't wrestled
about to be a year, man.
Almost 10 months. Why are
on
they
TV.
Still under contract? Not at all. Like, not even live events. That's crazy to me.
You got
10 months you have not wrestled for WWE. That is just crazy.
It's sad. And it's so funny. I'm laughing at Lexi's comment, question on Kitty Khan.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah, Kitty Khan. It's this. And it's funny about, you know, it's the old saying of history is written by the winners. Mm-hmm. You remember the Monday Night Wars when you watched the network? WWE slandered WCW so much about last minute storytelling and the old guys are on top and, oh, you know, just not using talent. What are you doing now, WWE?
Real quick, as Evan's talking Raw and SmackDown grades, guys, so we gotta head out. Go ahead.
Yeah, what are you doing now, WWE? I mean, you got people sitting. We have friends that work for WCW during the heyday, right before the Monday Night Wars and during the Monday Night Wars. I know people that was making $75,000 in 3 years doing nothing. All they had to do was just show up and sit backstage and eat the show.
Yeah, Jim Neidhart said that.
Jim Neidhart had said it.
He was just sitting on a contract.
My good friend Bobby Starr, and you can Google Bobby Starr, one of the great enhancement talent.
Yeah.
I talked to Stevie Ray, my friend Bobby Blaze, Black Bar to tell you, a lot of guys, WCW.
Black Bar too, yeah.
Making tons of money, so that's WWE now. Yeah. We say, what do you do? What would you do in that situation? Would you be comfortable making $300 a year, $300,000 a year guaranteed, not wrestling? Yeah. Would you decide to try to leave?
Well, Rhino didn't. He wanted to.
we know Rhino. We know how he is.
You know, he wanted to keep going. All right, guys. Thank you much. We got to roll, guys. It's past the time to bounce.
SmackDown scene.
Real quick, buyer's remorse, not be offering same amounts to new signees. It's unfortunate, but I mean, I saw that coming a mile away. it's the same thing as WCW. A lot of people saying it, you know. Saying, as far as grades, Lexi saying C minus and C, for SmackDown, C minus Raw, C. I think that's
Raw. I know. I give Raw
C. Yeah, I say C minus and C minus.
Main event was cool. That's what it is.
B minus for Raw, SmackDown for C, says Mo. Only a B because of the heel turn. Ryan says a hard 4 out of 10. And Raw, hard.
He said a hard SmackDown. D.
D. Yeah, hard
a
D.
Hard C. That's
a hard C. Yeah, well, 4 out of 10 is actually an F. So that's only 40%. So was 5 out of 10 is an F2.
Oh, let somebody know real quick. I know someone personally who actually bought your Bray Wyatt title as a collector. They're only making 11 of them. That's why it's $6,500. And he's one of the 11
people. I know it's a collection, but it's still absolutely terrible. All right, guys. A few minutes. what grades TLC main events. Let's start. Let's do 14 Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt and TLC match. I thought that it was in Cleveland, but I thought that match was just I give that C-. Yeah, C minus sounds better.
That was bad. I forgot about that until you said it.
Yeah. And then AJ 16 was AJ versus Dean Ambrose. I think that was the one with the your boy Ellsworth. I think he was in that one.
Gosh.
Then he kind of
I could do a show on him. Yeah. I could do a whole hour stories with Ellsworth.
Yeah, so I would give that probably like a C+. The Angle Rollins Ambrose versus Miz.
Oh gosh.
Sheamus, Strowman, and Kane on the
five. Oh man,
I remember that crap. Oh, that was
Angle
bad.
Looked so bad. You know, Angle was like my top five. Yeah, that was, he couldn't even move his neck. He was moving like Michael Keaton, Batman.
Yeah.
Like this.
Angle
slam.
Lynch versus Flair last year versus Asuka. Oh, that was a good match. Yeah, it was better. Mm-hmm. I get that, but B+. All right, real quick, guys. Let's do TLC 19 predictions. Right now we got Rusev and Lashley. I got I think Lashley will take. I mean, I think they'll give it to
Rusev.
Yeah.
He's
Kabuki Warriors versus Lynch and Flair.
Kabuki Warriors should win, but Lynch and Flair
will win. Yeah, I think Lynch and Flair. I think Black over Murphy.
Yeah.
Of course Wyatt over Miz, that's easy.
Non-title.
Yeah, that's weird. That's very weird. New Day, I think they'll retain its revival, yeah. And I think Reigns over Corbin. So
Corbin never wins.
Didn't seem like a very didn't seem like a fun there's no WWE title match. Look, there's no universal title match.
That's, look at this. We cover professional wrestling, I cover other things. We forgot TLC was this weekend.
There's no women's championship matches.
There's women's championship matches.
The tag team matches. Wow. That's horrible. There's no scheduled U.S. title match. There's no IC title match. That is terrible. Wow. Oh, yeah, that's right. So I think it's just plain Bray Wyatt. I think The Fiend's not even going to be wrestling. I think it's Bray Wyatt instead of, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. What a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
And the Miz isn't ready enough for a title match, but Ziggler could download in his challenge code.
But I don't think he's even doing it. I don't think he's even wrestling as a Fiend. I think it's just like Bray.
Oh, he's Firefly Funhouse and sweaters.
That's terrible, man. Absolutely.
Are they doing it because of the Mr. Rogers thing?
I don't know why, man.
Like, what are they? Oh, God. Wow. My prediction of this is going to be a D+.
Yeah, it's horrible. All right. Yeah, they haven't announced Owens and Rollins yet. So, Viking Raiders Open Challenge. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I like Viking Raiders, but yeah, it just seems like it's going to be a really bad show. So, enjoy it. gotta roll, guys. Thank you so much for joining.
We gotta go.
I've had a great time in my sickness, unfortunately. 402 episodes in the books. Oh, yeah, we were supposed to talk about Sid.
Yeah. The master and the ruler.
Yeah, I talked to him on the phone today. Isn't it crazy? I talked to him on the phone this morning. And, again, confirmed. He actually called me. I was at the gym the Wednesday morning after the show. Get a call. It's Sid. Calls me on the phone. Oh, I'm sorry. Such and such, and then we talked a couple more times. I actually talked to him on the phone today. He said, "Yeah, I'll do it," and no show again. So, but thanks to old Black Bart,
done it.
Sorry for the late start today. We were having some technical issues with getting Black Bart on. I literally called him like 5 minutes before the show because another no show. So. Black Bart pulled through for me, man, my guy. So appreciate you all. And, you know, be sure to Be sure to tweet Sid and say, hey, don't be super mean, but say, hey, the PNP fam, the PNP nation is strong to the finish, and we are one unit and we are band together. You can't do that. You can't do that. Subscribe to the Crave Wrestling YouTube page, guys. Have a good night. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. And always remember, I do it for you. Everybody, pray for me that I get better. God bless. Have a good time as always. Peace.
We gotta go.